Okay, tonight maybe we get a few of those who went to India, the pilgrimage to come and light the candle. Yeah. Padma Suri, Susan, and Michael, yeah. Come, the four of you. Yeah. Susan? And? Michael. Where is Michael? Oh, there are five. I can still give one more. Sito, come. Sito? Come. There are five. And 你点那个 incense. Then the rest can light the candle. Sadhu. Light the candle, the rest. Paramasri, come. Sadhu. Sadhu. Two more candle, come. Mimi, how is Zai Lido? Okay, one more for Joyce. yeah, come, Joyce. You got one more, come. Yeah, the last white candle to put in. Sadhu. Okay, we all can stand up for the puja. Come, stand up, get ready for the puja. Come, Chin Hao, come. You start with the tray. Sadhu. Off that fan. Sadhu.
No need. They don't leave it.
sadhu, 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 sadhu. Okay, this one no need, we offer later. Yeah? You put a flower. Yeah. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Ah, put here. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. 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 Ah, sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. 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 Okay, we need to make one more offering of this table. Eh? Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Then all the garland. Eh? Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, you all can be seated. Huh? After after we do the homage first. After the homage, then we'll do it. Huh? Okay, can on back the fan, huh? That fan. Huh? Okay. Today. I think it's the today is the 15th, eh? 15 December 2015. So Tuesday, yeah. So today we have most of the Kayanamita back from India pilgrimage, yeah? So that's why there's a lot of joy. Then tonight we can get many of them to share, yeah? Okay, I just one announcement before we start the puja. Paramasuri has very good intention. He wants to make the offering of this gallon. I don't know for what reason, you have to ask. anyway, we rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. We let her offer first, then later you all can ask her. Oh, good, good. Okay, you use the mic. We all cannot hear in the recording.
This is to show respect and gratitude to Brother Teo, because when I was there, I really, really feel that I'm very, very lucky to have a teacher, Brother Teo, to guide us all along. And this one is exactly the same one that we brought from Bangkok to Bogaya to offer to the Buddha. We took a photo and I go and order from there. I show the man the photo and he made exactly the same. Actually, I wanted to buy one from Bangkok back here, but they say the custom will not allow you to get through. So we took a photo and I go and order exactly the same one.
We should all rejoice with all the wholesomeness. Okay, thank you. I rejoice with the wholesomeness, because when you walk the path of Dhamma, as you cultivate, you will have a lot of gratitude, a lot of respect, especially towards Lord Buddha and his teaching. His teaching is very, very beautiful. It's a very, very rare teaching that you can't really find. Just like what we recite in the opening verse of most of our Mahayana Sutta, this type of teaching is very difficult to come by. Sometimes living beings can be waiting for aeons and aeons, but they couldn't have the condition to encounter such Buddha Dhamma. Then the window for the sasana is very short. Even if you have the condition, you may not encounter the true Dhamma. Just like we discussed at the dinner just now. They went to India, then they came back. Then somebody brought out the topic. We were so lucky because we were not born there. But people from here who has the understanding, they have a lot of faith. Just like when we went to Thailand, the same. There was one Thai monk in Mudahan near this Cindy's place. That monk was very good monk. I think Yun Chan will know. Is Yun Chan around? In the retreat. That Thai monk, there's another Thai monk at BJ. We went there. We make offering, then this monk, he can see, he can feel. Then he realized that the Malaysian group were different. Then he told the Thai people, he said, just compare, a lot of Thai devotee has been born in Thailand, just like those born in India. But they no longer have the understanding of the teaching. And this monk say exactly the same to the Thai people. Most of the Thai people, they are more interested in doing merits, anasana, making offering, pay respect. But regarding the cultivation, the Dhamma, most of them are not serious and don't have that understanding. Then when he saw our group, he was very happy. He said he had a lot of joy. Then when they were in India, it's the same. the holy places where the Buddha went to. Yeah? The four holy places of great significance, eh? Where the Buddha was born, where he gained enlightenment, then where he delivered the Dhamma for the first time. Then there's another one, Parinibbana, eh? Kushinara. So all these places are very significant and very special. But then how come people in India, they are not interested in the Dhamma anymore? Not that many. Yeah. And most of them actually lost the ability to cultivate. That's why you go there, you will see a lot of poor people, sick people. That place is supposed to flourish, understand? Or not? If it is really with that type of vibration, that type of energy, everything. But how come when the Dhamma went down, the people around there also went down, the consciousness also went down? So even though they are born there, you may think they are born during the Buddha Sasana, they are very lucky because they are born in that part of India. Yeah. But then you from Malaysia, Islamic country, you still go there with the understanding and able to cultivate and benefit from all this. So it's not where you are born, it's whether you have the parami or not, you have the past cultivation and affinity or not. And these are more important. So if you don't have the good parami, Buddha Dhamma is very, very rare and very difficult to encounter. Even born as a human being during the Buddha Sasana, in the holy places, but you end up not understanding the teaching and not cultivating. So that's why when people has this understanding, they have a lot of joy, a lot of gratitude. Then when you have gratitude, means your cultivation has reached sufficient depth for you to actually move very fast, because you already have that understanding and you appreciate each and every of those moments, and you have a lot of gratitude. And this will strive on, develop the sadha and virya to allow you to strive on with heedfulness. Then all the other spiritual faculty will fall into place. Yeah. Okay, we stop here. Huh? We go for the puja. Compose your mind, huh? Develop the sadha, virya. Then we will chant the salutation to the Triple Gem. Arahang Samma Sambuddho Bhagava Buddhang Bhagavantang Abhivademi. Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Dhammang Namasami. Supatipanno Bhagavato Sakkasangho Sanghang Namami. Okay, you can be seated. Then we turn to page 4 for our puja chanting. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Buddhang saranang gacchami, Dhammang saranang gacchami, Sanghang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi Buddhang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi Dhammang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi Sanghang saranang gacchami, Tatiyampi Buddhang saranang gacchami, Tatiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami. Panatipata veramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Adina dana veramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Kamesu micacara veramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Musawada veramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Surameraya majapamadatana veramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Now we will chant the Padipa Puja, offering of light. Ganna sarapaditena dipena tamadang sina tiloka dipang sambuddang pujayami tamonudang ganda sambarayutena dopenahang sugang hina pujaye pujaniyang tang puja bacana mutamang Vanna ganda guno petang etang kasuma santatin pujayami monindas siri pada sarorohe pujemi buddhang kasumena nena punnena mattena cha hotu mokhang Upang milayati yata idang me kayo tatayati vinasa bawang adivase tuno bante paniyang parikapitang anukampang upadaya patigang hatu mutamang. Turn to page 18. We will do the puja. Aspiration. Understanding the significance of offering of light, we will make the following aspiration. May this offering of light to the Buddha bring forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and to help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness of ignorance therein. Significance of offering of water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma that cools and doses off the fire of all defilements within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine forth far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense which we are offering to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of fruits. May this offering of fruits remind us of the dana parami of generosity and the fruits of our karma, so that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fruition soon as possible. Significance of offering of flower. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate sila, samadhi, and panya, leading to ultimate liberation, the bond-free nibbana. Making of overall aspiration. By the power of all these merits born of this offering, may our spiritual faculties of Sada, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, and Panya be further strengthened until they become balas, sharing and transferred of merits to all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who have the condition and affinity to receive them. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, we will make our salutation to the Sripa Jam. Badang Pujemi. Damang Pujemi. Sanghang Pujemi. Okay. We can start our meditation straight away because all of you has been here before. I will off the light, then we will start. Relax body and mind, then silent the mind. If you need to train this mind, then you continue your training. If you need to start off with the mind sweeping method to decondition the heedless thinking, then you can just do that. Then after that, you can stabilize this mindfulness or sati through whatever skillful means that you are familiar with. Especially anapanasati. Then after that, you just relax, silent everything, just maintain this silent mind. Whatever object of meditation that you are using, you just relax into it and silent and allow the mind just to settle down. It will settle down and it will fall into place. Then it will develop clear awareness within sati. Then you will become very sensitive. Then you can become aware of whatever that arises within your form and mind. Then later on, when everything becomes very quiet, very peaceful, very still and very subtle, your object of meditation also will become very still, very quiet, very subtle, like little or no breathing, like you cannot detect them. During this time, it's a sign of good progress. You just relax into it and silence everything and allow it to be, stay there. After a while, when the sati stabilizes, the mindfulness will become more refined and you will be able to detect all those fine breathing, subtle breathing, or whatever object of meditation that you are familiar with. Then if you have been doing the meditation for quite a while, if you already know how to silence your mind, you already developed the training of the daily mindfulness, then the moment you sit and relax and silent, the silent mind will fall into place. Then you can rest this mind anywhere within your kaya, anywhere that is conducive to you. You can feel your heart area, heartbeat, or detect any vibration within. You just relax and silent and feel. Later on, after a while, you will have the ability to detect your own heartbeat. Then you just silence everything and just allow it to be. The mindfulness of whatever that arises and pass away, you just stay there. Then all of your thinking or sankhara, mental state, they will slow down. Then you just maintain awareness. Awareness of whatever that arises. No need to know, just aware. Then let it pass. Everything that arises, let it pass. For those who have not stabilized the mind, this mind will get distracted. You will wander off, just like when you are doing anapanasati, but less often already. Most of the time you are with it aware, then you will stay. But even if once a while, off and on, it wanders off, straight away your mindfulness will be able to prompt you, and you will be aware that this mind has wandered off. Then you just bring it back. Stay there. After a while, you will have the understanding and the skill. Then, for those who are already very skillful, you can develop the stillness, the silence, and the pasati within the meditation. And the whole of the meditation session can just pass by like little or no thought. And everything that arises and pass away within your six senses, you can experience them. Then you can even stay still, silent, and develop the spacious phenomenal awareness. Then you just allow the mind to be. Then for those who already trained can do the lying down meditation, you should try it out. Allow the mind to stabilize that sati within the lying down meditation. Yeah, this is the best posture, the easiest to do. Then when you relax into it, it will detect the gateway. Then later on, all of the yin and yang, they will melt inside there. And you will feel very soothing, very quiet, very peaceful, very still, silent within. And this state, later on, you can carry it into your daily life and develop the daily mindfulness. Then you will come to realize all of a sudden your mind state has transformed, has become different. You are able to be mindful most of the time throughout the day. So daily mindfulness is like a part of you, no more a problem. And most of the time you are aware, there is hardly any thought. You are mindful of all action, all movement, and all activity that arise and pass away. You have a lot of clarity within your own mind. This is heedfulness. Then use it to cultivate Noble Eightfold Path. Starting with right view, contemplating, reflecting, straightening your view. Then apply that right view, the understanding, to cultivate, following the advice of the Buddha. Then constantly arise the four right effort. Initially, the first two right effort is to arise the right effort to abandon whatever wrong thought, wrong speech, and wrong action that has arisen. Then later on, when you are mindful enough, you can prevent them from arising. Then develop the contemplative wisdom and understanding of what constitutes right thought, right speech, right action, and right livelihood. Then develop the cultivation of it, right effort to cultivate those mind state, the right thought, right speech, and right action that are still not in you. Then later on, the final right effort is to keep on refining upon and perfecting all this beautiful right thought, mind state, that will allow you to have a lot of inner peace, inner mindfulness, inner joy, and inner clarity of mind to develop the daily mindfulness, so that one day it can insight into the characteristics of nature to allow your body and mind to have that awakening and understanding. Then your understanding will become different. Your mind will awaken, and you will again transform. Then your view will be more and more perfect, more and more direct with the Dhamma. Then through this understanding, sooner or later you will experience cessation. When you have faith, when you are patient, things will go your way. and you are incapable of negativity. Your mind state is always beautiful. There is a lot of love, there is a lot of joy, there is a lot of sati or mindfulness within. And you will have a lot of metta, a lot of gratitude, a lot of contentment. Then you will act, speak and think with a very sincere mind, free of all the evil roots of greed, hatred and delusion. Then you will be able to accord and flow and develop the right understanding to be at peace with all things, at all time, at all places. Then you will understand clearly who you are, what you are, what is this form and mind all about. Then the universal characteristics will be very clear to you. Then you will realize the penetrative teaching of what the Buddha has taught us. The universal characteristics of impermanent, universal characteristics of suffering and non-self or empty nature. All this will allow you to insight into phenomena, penetrate beyond to awaken, so that there will be no more delusion, especially self-delusion. Then the whole of the teaching will be understood. You will come to understand how you function as a human being, how the dependent origination arises and passes away, then how all these nature's laws fall into place to enable you to have the right view, to understand life, then to live life. Okay, with this I will allow you to meditate on your own. Then I will ring the bell after about 10 minutes. those who still want to meditate, yeah, you can continue. For yourself and now, you can slowly, mindfully come out of meditation. Try to maintain whatever inner peace, inner calmness, and inner mindfulness that you have developed. Yeah. Okay, now we turn to page 6. We will do the invocation to the devas. I will read to you the English translation, then I will chant the Pali. Invocation to the devas. In this universe, in their entirety, let the deities or devas come here. Let them hear the good doctrine of the King of Sages, which gives heaven and release Nirvana. This is the time to listen to the doctrine. This is the time to listen to the doctrine. This is the time to listen to the doctrine. Samanta Chakravalesu Atra Gacchantu Devata Saddhamman Muni Rajasa Sunantu Sakamokadang Dhamma Savanan Kalo Ayang Bandata Dhamma Savanan Kalo Ayang Badanta Dhamma Savanan Kalo Ayang Bandata Namo Atasa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa Namo Atasa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa Namo Atasa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa Iti peso bhagava arahang sama sambuddho Vijja charana sampanno sugato lokavido Anuttaro purisa dhamma sarati Sata deva manusanang Buddho Bhagavati Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Sandittiko Akkaliko Ehipaseko Opanayiko Pachatang Veditatbo Vinohiti Supatipanno Bhagavato Savakasango Ujupatipanno Bhagavato Savakasango Nyayapatipanno Bhagavato Savakasango Samichipatipanno Bhagavato Savakasango Yadidang chattari sayokani ata purisa pugala esa bhagavato savakasango ahuneyo pahuneyo akineyo anjali karaneyo Anuttarang punyaketang lokasati Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, we'll pay respect to Triple Gem. Buddhang Pujemi. Dhammang pujemi. Sanghang pujemi. can be seated. Like I said just now, we should all rejoice with the wholesomeness of all those Kairamita who has gone to the India pilgrimage. It has been quite a long 23 days altogether of pilgrimage. So we welcome them back and we rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. So maybe tonight we should spend more time asking them to share. Because I think quite a number went. Even this Tuesday class, if I'm not wrong, I think 8 of them went. May, Padmasuri, then Susan, then we have Michael, Sito, then we still have what? Anne. Sue also. Oh, PG. Oh, 8. 9. Wow. So, I know, but Tuesday class got the biggest. That's why you still look tired. PG is still fatigued, but it's good. Because your faith has maintained the mind. So when you are there, you are not tired. Initially, some of you are still, maybe only one or two of you got a little bit of, don't feel quite well. I think Susan, first day, was not feeling well. Then PG, the day before, went to Voucher Spa also same. Sometimes it's also because of the food there, the water you drink. And sometimes it's because it has to do with certain Dhamma from the past, the condition from the past. Then certain thing has to happen. It's a test. So you will be tested. Then sometimes it's like a preliminary obstruction. But most of these are not really severe or obstruction in any nature. It's more of a test. Then when you pass, after that everything will fall into place. But for many of them, I was told they did very well. They got so much joy. The faith has actually strengthened. Then I saw the photo. Then just now, when I was out there, I met Anne. And I told her, I say, wow, I say, from your photo, I saw you were radiant. And he said, oh, yeah, 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 well, is it meant to be, meant to be. Then he said she will share tonight. Maybe we get her to share. Pass the mic. Never mind. Okay. Pass the mic to Joyce. Pass the mic to Joyce. Pass the mic. So Joyce got some good announcement, I think.
All the pilgrims who went to India this trip, 2015, behind a beautiful being, there is always a great support behind beautiful being. So we all of us chip in to get something from Mrs. Teo.
Oh, sadhu.
And we hope you like it. It's actually a mother of pearl. Something that's quite unique. We'd like to give this to Mrs. Teo, who has been watching World Brother Teo and having this great support behind him and also watching over us as well.
So
on behalf of all the pilgrims, presenting this to you.
Thank you so much. Sadhu. offer to the Buddha. Pass it to N. Oh, you want Joy to be the first? You are the leader that lead them to India. Maybe you are the first to share. Then later on, Anne can share. You all choose among yourself. Okay. Pass the mic to Joyce. Let Joyce start. Sadhu. Yeah, very good. Sadhu. Wait. She want to say something. Wait.
Good and wholesomeness of your research come through and realize it. Born free, divana, as soon as possible.
So my wife wish all those who make the offering and also all Kayamita, your good and noble wish come true. May you all realize your good and noble wish soon as possible. So that is a very good, very pure wish, and it's very helpful because it's born of joy. When you have joy, when you have this sadhu rejoicing within, it's a meritorious action and it's a parami. If you can develop until it's very strong, very powerful, then you invoke the power of this merits and share. It's very, very potent. Especially when you radiate pure wish, because there is condition. Okay, now we get Joyce to start.
Actually, I should be the last person to talk because I'm always very long-winded.
So I'll try to make
this as short as possible. Before I do that, I also have something very special for a very special friend of mine, my mentor. To a certain extent, who has brought me into Dharma.
Vimi.
So I would like to give her something too.
Sadhu, rejoice. Sadhu. Yeah, Mimi has actually helped Joyce. She tried to get Joyce to come into the Dhamma for quite a while. Finally, she managed to have the condition. Then Joyce was here. And she had all the, what they call happiness, that comes with the reconnection back to the Buddha Dhamma. This has been with her nature in the past too. But this life, like I used to tease her, it's not really tease, I can sense. I used to tell her she monk before. So past life was Yong Zaya. It's been monk many lives. Then cultivate until got one life. He just say enough with monk's life. I want to enjoy the world, want to find out what the world is all about. So curious. So this life, born as a lady, get to enjoy all those things. But then that past, the affinity, that condition, it will manifest. It will come to fruition. That's why when the time comes, despite what she went through, they will come back to the Dhamma. Then when she connects, she moves very fast, and she will understand all this very fast. So a lot of you, before you encounter back and connect back to the Buddha Dhamma, you may not know who you are, what you are, and your past and all those things. But don't worry, as long as you have the faith, the sincerity, the moment you connect, you never knew, or you know, never know who you are until you connect. And when you connect, you can be pretty fast. Like our song. And this time around when he come back, I tell you, he got a lot of story to tell you. He got a lot of things to share with you. This time he already will be very, very different. Before he went, he already very different. But after this, when he come back, you can hear from him. Okay, Joyce, sorry for interrupting.
Yes, okay. Actually, this particular India trip has also, I also want to remember one or two people here who has helped the Tuesday class very much. This has traveled with me from all the four holy sites. So actually, I want to give this to Hui Rong, who has been helping us to do the recording for Tuesday class. I hope you like it. As a token of our appreciation.
Oh, sadhu. See, a lot of gratitude. That's why when they go to this, when the mind has this understanding, it will recall to mind all of the gratitude of all those who have made all this possible. And this is what cultivation is all about. When you can express that joy, that gratitude, that sincerity, that is the true Dhamma. Because ultimately Dhamma is about virtue, wholesomeness. When you go back to that mind that has virtue, incapable of negativity, you have the Dhamma. Okay, good.
Yeah. And not forgetting Stephanie, who has always been collecting money for us.
Sadhu.
It's just a small token that I brought along with me.
Sadhu. Very good. See, this can bring about so much joy to people, understand? Then people felt like this is what Dhamma is all about. Then you also can get to rejoice. And there is so much wholesomeness. Very good, sadhu.
Anyway, all the gifts, all the pilgrims has a touch of choosing.
Oh, sadhu. Some of the stuff
there. So, let's all just say sadhu three times to all the pilgrims.
Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.
Okay, like I say, I try not to be as long-winded as I used to be. I still am, actually. Okay, overall, I think our India pilgrimage this year, 2015. Most of them are very new, actually new people. The only ex-pilgrims who were there was me and Anne Chung. Like what Ajahn Achalo has said, it was this 2015 India pilgrimage was supposed to be for the ex-pilgrims. Yeah, but it ended up being only two ex-pilgrims, and the rest, 12 of them, are all new people.
Yeah.
On a personal level, for me, basically, I truly rejoice for the fact that this India pilgrimage has benefited a lot of them in their own small little ways or big ways. That is something that I look forward to, basically. The very reason why I work very hard for this India pilgrimage 2015. And there's always this Brother Teo and also Ajahn Achalo used to say, when you benefit others, in return it also benefits you.
Yeah.
So don't forget about yourself as well. That you also have to watch and look after yourself in your spiritual path. And this is one India pilgrimage that has done just that for me. And for that I'm very grateful. For all the pilgrims who has given me this opportunity to offer the offering the responsibility to me to offer this benefit to you all in the long run in your spiritual journey, basically. I'm not sure whether what you want me to share because it's so wide.
Yeah.
I know the pilgrimage is a 21 days pilgrimage. I wrote to Brother Teo just a couple of days ago.
Yeah, that was a good one. Yeah.
It's not very much about the programs because it's something that you have to sit back and reflect on it and contemplate. Many, many things. The in-between spaces, the in-between heedlessness, the momentary heedlessness. So many things. You have to basically pull out one by one and take a good look at it with deeper clarity and understanding, which upon reflection it will show you basically where the truth is. For me, I think the impact was one of the impact would be on our way back from Bangkok on our flight from Bangkok to Kuala Lumpur on the Thai Airways. We had a detour to Hap Chai, an emergency landing in Hap Chai for a medical matter of one of the fellow passengers who had a heart attack. And from our seat, we could have a small glimpse of what the doctor and the the airline crews was trying to do to help and save this person. We don't know who this person is, how old he was, and no details. We only saw them doing the job of, you know, when somebody had a heart attack, you know, this motion of pumping the heart with the motion of coming up and down, up and down, up and down. It's really a reality check, especially for we all pilgrims who just came back from the burning ghats. You know, I mean, we can smell death, we can see death, but do we realize death? That is one of my reflection that I reflect upon. And on this particular incident, I realized that through my seeing consciousness or through what I see some excitement, some curiosity on some of the fellow passengers. But at the same time, I also see some very compassionate and some very concerned fellow passengers for the passenger. And I think most of the pilgrims did send metta straight away, even though we don't know who he was or who she was. But that particular experience gave me this. Are we really doing a reality check or not? Do we really know what death is, or deathless for the matter? I think it's a very powerful scene for me, and that brings me back to the burning ghats. It's quite difficult for me to explain what I want to say, but I think this kind of reflection does give you a sense of urgency.
Yeah, in the cultivation.
Yeah, in your cultivation. To see the truth. But how far can we go? And in any reflection, it is how honest are you to yourself? I think that would be my...
Very good.
That far I can say, but
very good.
I'm still
very
thinking good. About it. I shouldn't be thinking about it, but actually sometimes we actually know what it is and what how we should go forth. But are we ready for it or not? That's the thing.
Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. We should all rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Yes, these are the experiences that one will encounter as you walk the path. Sometimes it come and test you, and the test can be really life and death. My nature was tested many, many rounds. Especially when you are very near to the awakening time. Many things will happen. Then finally real life test will come. The final test was my son and my mother, both simultaneously. One heart attack landed in the hospital. The other one was my son compound fracture, almost the same time. Then that reality check, like what she went through, because you have to confront life and death. You have to confront something very personal. Where nothing else can move my mind, can stir the mind or cause any confusion anymore. But at that time, when that thing strikes simultaneously, there was such clarity inside there. There was no movement, nothing at all. He even had the understanding, even that moment, this form and mind separate, this breath stop, nothing is going to change. Understand? The thought has got no power to project at all. He will not even say, "Ayo, I haven't done this, I haven't done that." It don't even arise a thought to worry, "Oh, what will happen to my mom? How come my son went through her?" No more such thought. It just understand. Then, that is the reality. It's only for my mind, not so real, not what you think. Then straight away the nature, after that, the answer came out. It's just a test. And this test can be very traumatic and very severe. and it's real life. Then the moment I understand, I do what I have to do, then I sort things out. Then my mother straight away came out of the hospital within a few, I think 2 or 3 days. That night itself, she stabilized. Well, when I came home, when my wife called me, she was sweating, perspiring. Typical symptom of heart attack. She was completely like going to die, very weak. Can't even talk. And my mother is very strong. And that time she was only 60 plus. I think 60 plus a bit. Then within that interval of a few days, my son also compound fracture. Then I did what I had to do. Then both also just came out right. Then there was another thing, which I think many of you all don't know. I actually got a third child. That one also at the in the year, same year, happened. So that test came very severe. But then everything is understood. That's why the whole thing just reversed. Then ever since then, no more tests. Everything just fall into place. So the reality check will allow you to understand whether the Dhamma is there or not, whether your thoughts still have power over you, whether you still project and allow the mundane mind to do all those things or not. Then like what she wrote to me is that the thought is so fast, scan everything. Then finally, when you are not clear about who you are, what this form of mind is all about, then there's a lot of projection. Then like just now, Pradesya at the dinner asked me, he said he was in Bali. He made offering to one Theravada monk. But that Theravada monk, because he don't have kapya and support, he accept money. So in his mind, Pradesya was worried. This is something that the monk cannot do. It's against their precepts because they are not supposed to touch money. And he asked me, but do I offered him cash, means money. The thought actually project, make him doubtful and worry. He asked me, but do am I doing it right? Is there any comic or whatever? I said, after you have done, forget about what happened. That moment when the condition arrive, when you understand the intention is sincere, you just do. After that, nothing to do with you. Then I told him, the burden of thought will actually torment you because you will project. And this thought will ask a lot of questions. Understand? Monk not supposed to touch money, but yet I give him money. Did I break his precept? Did I cause anything negative or any negativity? Or did I do it wrongly? So all this is what thought will project and create this fear in you, doubt in you. So when thoughts still have power over you, means you still have not understood who you are, what Sankara is all about. You have not penetrated the true Dhamma. So this is how cultivator, as you progress, that's why the Dhamma is Pachetang, can be realized by the wise, each for themselves, nobody else. And it will be very clear. So this part is very useful sharing. So later on when you confront reality check, sometimes it could be a test. But this is not really a test, it's a condition, because there is such a condition, like she wrote, isn't it? Immediately after the pilgrimage, then they were confronted with this situation, which allow them to reflect and understand. And she really contemplate. That's why then she wrote there, is it life can be so fragile, and so on. One moment can just wipe you off like that. Then who are you? What are you? Then what's life all about? Then how do you understand all this? So Dhamma, when you penetrate, can give you the understanding. And your mind is very different. Not only you are very calm, very peaceful, you understand everything very clearly. Especially when you can have that understanding. Any time, any moment, this form of mind can just separate. It can just happen, no problem. And when it happens, there is clarity. You will know what is happening, and you will know how to die, and you will know how to go through all this. Then that nature that emerges is different. That is the deathless element. So all this understanding is very beautiful. But very few living beings can come to terms with the reality, with the moment when they confront death. That's why my teacher, Achayantra, said, can you laugh at the dead? When you're about to die, can you still smile? Smile at the death. Means you can confront everything with understanding. That's why when you understand, hey no you, hey no me, nothing die, then you would have penetrated the five aggregate. Then you have understood the Buddha Dhamma. Then there is no more problem for that form of mind, for that so-called being. But that one is not you one. That one will separate and dissolve. No more problem. Because there is no reality within the form of mind. So with this, hopefully, some of you will also, I think not too long, very soon, penetrate all this understanding. Then we can have really, really good sharing. Then that time the sharing will be a lot of different. No more rata tio la de koreka. No more. You will be able to share direct from your own understanding. Like now, Brother Song, he got no more doubt. He just understand, and there was so much joy, so much gratitude. That's why when Dhamma dawned upon the form of mind, when the form of mind awakened, it's so different. You become so different, so beautiful, and there's so much joy. Okay, now we go on to the next one.
No, but I think...
You still got, huh?
Yeah. Sahadu. Since... Okay. I might as well.
Okay, might as well.
Yeah, I might as well. Actually, I wrote this to Bertil yesterday. Perhaps if I read from here, it will be more
better,
clear.
Yeah.
Please be patient with me. I'm a bit long-winded, so. Brother Teo, we were back safely yesterday. We had a passenger with a critical medical matter, so our flight made a detour to Hat Yai for a medical emergency landing, giving us our first insight of impermanence and death right after our pilgrimage, thus giving rise to the recollection of our trip to the Burning Ghats. You could see and sense the delusion and ignorance, and at the same time, some compassion and concerns of fellow passengers, all in the same moment. It is amazing to watch. And a sense of total indifferences, distancing oneself from it all, just like a movie. I felt a momentary moment of mirror reflection, of self and non-self. Such a gross and heavy image, and yet it is very embedded subtle denial of our mortality and death. We always expect instant gratification, fulfillment on all desires or things, and wait for the next bits. But I find that the true meaning and understanding of all phenomena or perception comes with real honest reflections of oneself to ourselves, which give rise to the truth and wisdom. It is not instant, but a working and walking through process towards truth, whether we realize it, and total acceptance of it all depends greatly on one's understanding, or are we just acknowledging with just the knowing? is a gradual but powerful reflection and contemplation for me at this moment now. This pilgrimage has been most beneficial, and I truly rejoice the benefit to the pilgrims and great opportunity for reflection and contemplation it has arisen for all of us as well. Having said this, I also want to say something about my experience in the burning gates. And this is something that I wrote immediately after when I came back from the burning gates. I find it pretty powerful this time, because this is my second time I'm going there. I remember it was with my deep trust in Ajahn Chalo and my mantra Buddha that I put my first step on the ground of the burning gates on my first visit. It was an incredible, scary, but yet enlightening experience for me. My second visit was with a slight difference. I see how the mind states going a bit yo-yo, hanging between complete trust in my Ajahn and with no fear and no and deep faith in the Buddha, and yet being pulled aside at some moments to some of our embedded Chinese beliefs and some well-intended words of caution, therefore oscillating between faith and belief. Upon reflection now, aren't we so often been swayed with our sense of other external views or our sixth sense door, or we input the information from people considered to have special skills, the notion of we feel being in a safe space, and due to this momentary heedlessness, we tend to forget to turn inwards to our true nature, the Triple Gem and Buddha's teaching for refuge, and see the reality of the inevitable sufferings in a samsaric world. I find myself turning off completely at some point and not see anything, seeing as just seeing the fire, no bodies, nothing to see. At this point, I don't see death as scary because I think I just shut off this feeling completely. It's like being there and not there. At some brief moments, I'm more worried about bumping and annoying or offending the non-beings. I'm not sure if this is the true sense of realizing the true sense of death or deathless, or I'm completely off track. This is my own. I'm actually talking to myself.
Very good, in a sense.
But I did share this in the India pilgrimage as well. Thank you.
Sadhu. Very good. Because this time she went, it's different again. Every time you go, it's different. When you cultivate, when your Dhamma understanding is there, you will see things differently. You will understand things differently. That's why all Kalyanamitas, one day you will all come to understand all this. In fact, year by year, each and every one of you who are serious, you will progress very fast and your understanding will be very different. You can check. Even this, or last 2 years especially, month after month, there's a lot of changes, there's a lot of progress. Yeah. And many Kayamita, the last few months, I tell you, a lot of things happened to them. Yeah. So even from what we came to experience, quite a number of them, they experienced very, very fantastic transformation within the past few months. And even the 1 to 2 years going back, especially the year 2014, a lot of things happened. Then it accumulated until now, 2015. And next year will be even more powerful. Because there will be a lot of awakening. And there's a lot of faith growing strongly. When you see Kayanamita transform, it will motivate you. I remember last time when I sent out the duckling, you remember? That climbed the step. At first, all tried very hard. So none of the duckling went up. That's why not much confidence. Everyone try, fall, try, fall. Then later on, after a certain station, all of a sudden one went up. Oh, that is the beginning of faith. Then after that, one or two more went up. Wow, then a lot went up. Then even the last few who were very weak, finally also went up. I like the last one. The last one that went up was the best. Means all Kayamita went up. Yeah. And the mother duck, duckling, sorry, the mother duck, you know what he did? Huh? You all remember what she did? She didn't do anything. He choy her, they don't know. He didn't want to help anybody. He just went up there and walked around and wait for them. You can come out, you come out. You cannot come out, you stay down there. And finally, the joy was the last duckling that came up. So Dhamma is like that. Very beautiful when you understand. And you will have a lot of joy. Then like what Joyce went through this year. Later on when she penetrates, stabilizes, it will be different again. Because if you go to such place, you can see how thought, the mental conditioning, how the power of thought to project and arise all this, the fear, the phobia. Even Susan just now also was sharing with us. She actually was reluctant to go because she can feel, and then the mind doesn't want to go. Then there is of course this fear behind. Is it he's scared, he go there, unnecessary create those conditions and those non-human. Some may follow her back, you see. Then maybe she said, because she has this Dhamma, it may not affect her, but it may affect her family members and all those things. So these are what the thought will project. Then when you have doubt, when you don't have faith, all this has power over you. Then you have this eerie feeling. You don't feel good. But it doesn't mean that all this cannot happen. It can happen. But then, if you have the understanding, the Buddha Dhamma is such, the Buddha said, we are all born our karma, heir to our karma, conditioned and supported by our karma. And we are what we are because of karma. So this form of mind is subject to karma, understand? No? But that nature is not. And this form of mind is not you, understand? No? Even your loved one, those form of mind is not them. So if condition is like that, it has to be, it will be. So you don't have to worry about all these things. You have to be within the moment, that reality. How is your mind? Does it still have the delusion? Does it still stir? Does it still project? Does it still has power to deceive? All this will be the understanding. Then later on, after you penetrate, there is nothing actually. Wherever you land yourself into, he know you, he know me. Understand? Then there is no such thing as burning, death and all those things. It's only form and mind. When consciousness is to be element, but the mind that has the conditioning through tradition, like Chinese culture, custom and belief, then they say die already, the spirit will still be around and all those things. I mean, there is some truth in those statements, because wherever there is a lot of death, the consciousness will be wandering around, and because it just came out. And these are the random of consciousness. And some of these are the beings that have this type of frequency. So they like to gather around there, understand? So if you can have the condition to avoid, you should avoid. But if you have to like go in and develop the understanding and go through the test, no problem. You understand. You were there to go in. And then you check whether the sakyadity is still there or not, whether the egoic mind is still there or not, whether there is still delusion or not. That's why it's not what you think. The real cultivation after you penetrate, there is nothing up here. Like I said, this form of mind is karmically conditional for you to use, to live life, to understand life, to experience all of the beauty. So use it. And it's not you. Why are you worrying? Worry about dying. Who died? What died? Nothing died. No one died. When there is no one born, no one sick, no one old, then how to find a being that died? Death is just separation of consciousness from the form. The five aggregate of form and mind is condition arising, causal phenomena. He know you, he know me. And all this, you must develop clear understanding. You must insight into phenomena, penetrate, reflect, contemplate until it becomes very, very clear. That's why when you free, go back and read the green book. Then develop the clear understanding of Anatta Lakkhana Sutta. Then you will understand and you will penetrate. All this understanding will come to you, will fall into place. So don't have to worry. Okay, pass the mic.
Actually, Brother Teo, when I was there, after what I have already said just now, right? But after that particular instance and all that, right? The mind is very beautiful.
Wow, sadhu. Okay.
Brother Teo, you know why? Because at that moment, just that 1 second ago, what I've just said, all that, right? But the next moment when you actually look deeper and beyond that, then you see that there's actually nothing.
Yeah.
It's truly nothing.
You're right. When you penetrate, it's really nothing.
But because, like what Brother used to say, my sati is not very stable.
Yeah. No, because you try to shut it off, like just now you say. So, shutting it off, is just the mind's way of temporarily dealing with it, understand? Not real. Not me. That's why no one died. But all these are still words, understand? But when you can really have that penetrative understanding, there is no way one. It just smile, understand? Because really no reality at all. You will be able to confront everything and see everything with such clarity. And there is nothing at all. But this has to become like something very, very clear. That's why my teacher say we choose contemplate until very, very clear. And that is definitely. Until nothing can disturb it anymore. It means anytime this so-called form and mind, the breath can just stop. Means it can just die like that. And there is no thought at all. They say, "Ayo, what happened if I die? I haven't done this, I haven't done that. What about my children? What about my wife? What about my parents? What about my all this kayanamita?" The moment your thought still has this, you are dead. Understand? Then you try to shut off. I don't want to think about it. I don't want to do anything with it. All this is still the thought, and the thought is still active. But the moment you penetrate and understand, like the Buddha said, what are thought? What are thought? Yeah? Content of consciousness. Yeah. Sankara. And what is Sankara? Sabbe Sankara one. Sankara come and go. Sankara anichang. You grasp and cling and hold, Sankara dukkang. Suffering will arise. But you give meaning. You grasp, you hold, you project, and you create all this. Then the phenomenal will become real. The five aggregate of form and mind has power over you. That's why you have to learn to see form. Understand the unreality of form, dependent originating, condition arising. Then you can see beyond form. Not until you can see the unreality of form is impermanent, you can never penetrate. Then you can never understand the unreality of form. Then you cannot go beyond form. You cannot see beyond form. Then form has power over you. Then your thought will project. That's why you look at that burning gas, like dead corpse. Then your sense experience, like they say, can smell the dead body and all those things. Then the whole of the consciousness there is so eerie. Then everybody who go there, they have this fear. Then most of them try to test themselves, try to fight themselves. But like I said, Dhamma is not about fighting and testing and suppressing. It's about understanding. The moment you understand, no more problem. So everything just like evaporate. Then no more reasoning, no more question asked. But before you understand, a lot of question. Then a lot of justification, like Dhamma. Dhamma come out to develop the understanding. These are still knowledge, thought-based, not penetrative. Like I said, the moment you understand, you don't have to reverse your thinking. No need. If you don't understand, then thought will tell you to do all those things. So, Dhamma is about wisdom, awakening. The moment you understand, you awaken, you got no more problem. The mind is different. But before that thing happened, the mind will still be deluded. It will still have sakayatiti. That's why we call it yoniso manasikara, means wise attention at the moment of sense experience. If this wisdom is not within your nature, if you are not connected to your true mind to develop the direct seeing, the awakening, to insight into the universal characteristic, and to develop the contemplative wisdom until so clear, this mind will still be deluded. It will still have sakayatiti, that it cannot free. But the moment you understand, this wisdom is always there. Whatever happened, whatever sense experience, at the moment of contact, that wisdom will arise. That's why wisdom at the moment of sense experience, feeling remains as pure feeling. It can never stir. It can never move. There is no more projection. There is no more movement. That's why, like I told you, like when I was tested, the thought didn't move at all. When I heard that news of my mother heart attack, when I came back and saw her with the sweat and all those things, there was no movement of thought at all. I just do what I have to do. I need to call my classmate who is a doctor. I call. Then I went and see him. Then he told me, your mom heart attack. I said, I give you a letter. Then we went to university hospital. At that time, my sister was there. And then they put her under ICU, observed for the night. Next morning, she recovered. Then they put her on this medication for heart, for BP, blood thinning, and a few other things. She didn't even go for angio. And she recovered and lived until age of 89. So all these things, when you go through the cultivation, when your mind transforms, it will have that understanding. Thought has got no more power, no movement at all, nothing. It's just like, you can just look at it, and there's no movement at all. Because everything is understood. And there is no word to say understood. No such thing. Everything is so clear. So this awakening, when it happens, the form and mind will understand. That's why the Buddha say Pache Tang. Okay, now maybe we pass the mic. And your turn.
Okay, actually this is the second time.
Yeah, second trip. Yeah, very
when
peaceful.
When I compare to the first time, I do a lot of offering.
Sadhu.
I go and buy so much things to do whatever.
Correct.
But second time, I got no such
intention at all. No more already, I know.
Merely just meditation.
And you then, just silent most of the time.
And then this time is very funny. They have an international Mahayana function. Then now all the their wording, the Chinese wording, it just penetrates to me.
It will just penetrate and enter your nature.
And then always there is a Namo Bonsu.
Sujia Moni Fo.
Namo Bonsu
Sujia Moni Fo.
And then they're chanting also open on, it just arise.
Correct. Then your nature will just understand. You will just take it in. That's why I saw your face when the photo came back. So radiant. I straight away told my wife. I said, when Anne come back, you got a lot of story to share with you. I said, so radiant. Oh, so different. And it was going, and that type of smile is so different. Not the ka-ka-ka-ka like that one. No, it's deep inside. You can feel it from the photo.
Actually, my heart is not moved all the time. It's not
yeah.
But the mantra is...
Correct. Keep on playing. Non-stop.
Yes.
Your first time already that mantra came. But this time is a different one.
Yeah, it's a different one. I feel funny.
Not funny, because you actually connect back. And very soon you will be like song.
I think in the second place is a Rajit. This is a phobia place. Remember I told you what
yeah,
I meant
yeah.
there?
I know.
Once I step in, it's the same hotel. I thought it's a different hotel. Since same hotel, I have to accept it. So I think the time we reached there is the evening. We just knocked the door, enter the room. Something is on.
Yeah, yeah.
So I told myself, okay, talk to them.
Yeah, talk to them. That is the most important. Very important.
So after I made agreement, I said I will send you blessing tomorrow. Tonight, not to disturb.
Sadhu. Very good. Yeah, very good.
But anyway, sleep the time, I still cannot be sleep.
Correct, correct.
Then after a while, I hear a voice. Pass the mop.
Pass the mop, very good.
Yes,
wow, in India speak Mandarin to you. Pass the mop.
I said, pass the mop. Okay, I said, no, why I feel
Yeah.
Then I said, I already promised.
Yeah.
Okay, then I just sleep. So, next day actually is beautiful.
Yeah.
When I'm in the Wajra bed, I'm not merely meditation.
Correct.
Once I sit down, my metta is just
out. Yeah, just on its own, naturally. Set up on its own.
I was so surprising. My nature calling the first times.
Yeah.
Whatever the things
I know.
I saw.
Yeah, yeah.
Invite them to come.
Correct.
In.
They will all come. Because you promised the night before.
And then he just mentioned to them, first time I have no equity.
Yeah.
You all request.
Yes.
I was so surprised.
Yeah.
The word can
they
come
have
in
to
such
request
a way.
One, yes.
So this is the time. Now I come, I have an ability.
Yes.
Please come.
Yeah,
and
ask and accept, yes.
And then there's a dharma to them.
Yes, sadhu. Wow, very good. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.
I myself also surprising how it comes out so beautiful.
Yeah. You will never know. That's why I say more fantastic than fairy tale. People cannot understand what. It's all from the nature. Inside.
Yeah, then after that, I think our singing coming, right?
That one was the most beautiful.
So the, after the singing, because we chant for
night time. Pama Suri told me, night time.
Then, because at the time, I concentrate in my paper.
Correct.
Never look around.
Because your nature is vibrating. Vibrating.
After finished the singing, I think Achan lead us to Karuna.
Yeah.
That time, because we already
I know, I know.
So I can open my eyes.
Yeah.
Full of Deva.
Yeah, full of Deva. You saw, huh? You saw a lot, huh?
A lot. So
Sadhu. Sadhu. Very good.
After over, Ajahn, the first person come and ask me, and you see any black spot? Black spot. Then I say, give me a second to think of black spot. I said, no. A lot of Deva.
Devas, huh?
Yes. He's so happy and
Yeah. A lot of devas, they won't understand. Well, when this manifests, it's only those with the nature can understand. And you will feel them one. Oh, there is so much joy. And the sign is everywhere. And for N, it's because her nature, past life, she came up from up there. That's why she has this ability to see. So all this is nothing to do with psychic, I tell you. It's the condition that manifests. Very good. Sadhu. Continue.
And then the I think second stop in the Rajit, we went to what university? Nalanda. Nalanda University. That one actually after lunch. We start our journey. Once the bus stop, I feel uneasy.
I don't know why. Yeah.
Once my footstep touch on the ground, I'm floating.
Yeah.
My head is spring.
Yeah.
I cannot stand at all.
Correct.
I ask myself what happened. I'm not sick.
So, but you are aware. You are aware. You are mindful.
I take out my
I just applied to let be walked. I walk really slowly. Then even the first step, we go enter the museum. We go and actually I cannot walk properly.
Correct.
Then after that come out, I thought I need vomit. I went to toilet, but I didn't do anything. I come out, I have to walk slowly. I cannot left behind. Then they have explain everything. Then they go to the their place. Sariputra is the latest. I asked Joyce, he bring the essential oil to spray me. I said, you spray me. I cannot stand properly. She really give me a spray. At least I can be know where I am. Then after that, we go for meditation. Actually, it's beautiful. My meditation, actually, I'm not really meditation. Once I sit down, the sati comes.
Yeah, the sati will come to you, a very strong one.
Then I feel that there is a picture come into
me.
There's a scripture. In a silver cover.
Very thick. Yeah.
It just opened.
Yeah.
I can see inside.
Yeah, see inside. Page by page.
Not page by page. Unlucky the closing.
Oh, okay.
Then after that, immediately, Ajay come and ask me to go inside the Sariputra secret place. I do not know why I follow him. I walk, actually, at the back. Actually, it's no good. Everybody is the meditation. We just walk up.
No problem.
Once I walk in halfway, I think the Sariputra relics.
Relics.
Suddenly, I feel the energy. Something is twinkling. Some like current.
Correct.
Current is in. Then I feel funny, why is that? Then I walk again. Then we take a photo. Quite terrible also. All come out.
I know, you cannot go in one. You go and spray here. Meant to be.
So after the photo session, I just walk back, but I stopped in that point. I said, Joyce, we stop here. So I just put out my hand. I feel my hand is swollen.
Blue
black color. Wow, I really stand there for a few moments. Then I walk out. I feel funny. I said, why in the spot? Really, the spot, it really sent me a blessing. So I thought, I think maybe there's a message passed to Joyce.
Maybe. The conditioning by the non-human or the higher being, it will happen on. Then you will be there on. You will be there.
Then I feel I'm more stable. I restore back my
energy. Correct.
Then after that, I asked Ajahn. Ajahn told me, there is Arahan and the Muslim, they are fighting. Almost 1,000 of Arahan is dying there. So there is the place.
Oh, last time.
In the ancient time.
Because during the Nalanda civilization, Nalanda flourished, then was destroyed. A lot of the monks were killed and the book burned. That was the place. That's why that university actually a lot of ruin. No problem. Continue.
Then after that, I think I sick for a few days. I feel uneasy. Then I think, I have to review. It's the last stop. It's Varanasi, right? The last stop. The fireplace. There's a museum.
Fire gush.
Sana. I think the place, we also follow, there's a... somebody is explaining to us, translate. And then there's one, turn the wheel, right? That one? Remember I asked you to sense the consciousness? There's a Buddha meditation. The last corner one, with the wheel. It's very funny, He just mentioned Eightfold Path. He said the Buddha teaching
Eightfold Path.
And Four Noble Truths. He mentioned this word.
Penetrate your heart.
Just drops.
That is the essence of the teaching. Noble Eightfold Path and the Four Noble Truths. That is the essence.
I really feel something is connected.
Yeah. Penetrate your nature to let you understand. Sadhu, very good.
That's what I find. A lot more things
to
review to me in this trip.
Yes. Because, like you say, the first trip, you were not ready. You remember why you go? The first trip? That Mahabohi. Mm. You remember?
The
Mahabohi. You have not seen it before. And you saw it in your dream.
Yes.
Then we went to Wu Ping Ching, sir.
I'm bathing the time.
Yeah, lah. The vision came to you. Then you haven't seen that place before.
Yes.
Then when that they used to have this 3 months of chanting before they go for all this pilgrimage trip, they asked me to sit in with them on many occasions. Then the last one, they asked me to share something with them before they leave, even like this time in Joy's house. So what happened was, when she was there, that time she haven't seen that Mahabodhi temple. But on our chanting book, it's on the cover page. Understand not? Because Leslie printed there. Then Anne saw, no? Anne asked me, "But what is this? I saw it." I that time I thought it was in her dream, but now she say, well, she was bathing. See, bathing also Dhamma can come out. You bathe with mindfulness, you have awareness, this thing will come out. Understand? Then like the scripture, got color on, show out and show to you the teaching. Then all the Maya teaching, they can go. And these are not fairy tale, I tell you. These are reality that can happen to anyone who have the faith and cultivate. So what happened was, when she saw that, then I explained, this is the famous Mahabodhi temple in Kushinara. Oh, sorry, Bogaya, where the Buddha got enlightened. Bogaya. Then she said, I saw it. Then I say, you have to go. Actually, that time you haven't decided to go. Then I say, you go. You make the decision to go already. You still don't know. Then I say, you better go. I say, meant to be. No need to ask questions. If there is such condition, these are the signs that I used to tell you. The sign will come. It will show it to you. Then before you go, it will show up again. That's why I told her, you just go, meant to be. It has something to do with your nature and your path. And really, the moment she went that trip, he said the moment he landed, the mantra came. Then it stayed on with her for the whole journey until she left. And you're full of mindfulness. Then Achan asked him at the burning gawa, teach you all Buddha, Buddha. She said, cannot Buddha. That chanting continued. That's why it's very different. This is how you do based on what you understand, your nature understand. You don't follow what people tell you to do. Understand not? Because everyone is different. So develop your own skillful means to develop the faith and the understanding. Then reflect, contemplate until very, very clear. So all this will happen. Then you haven't shared with us on the Mahayana teaching. Where were you at that time? You say the Oh, Bogaya itself. Oh, there's a Mahayana temple there. Oh, international chanting. Oh, okay. International means all tradition. Yeah. And during that time, the mantra just went in. All the teaching. Yeah, sadhu.
Actually, this trip, I'm not much meditation.
Yeah.
All the times, I think I do most samatha.
Correct. Because now you have the ability. That's why you ask them to assemble. And you know how to tell them what they need to do. Well, first trip, you don't have the ability. You have not connected and you have not understood. But after that, you came back, you became different. That's why end of last year, you came back. Now it's exactly 1 year. See? 2 years already, yeah? I thought you went there last year? Oh, 2013, yeah? Oh, you all skipped 1 year. Oh, okay. Then 2 years already, yeah. Well, 2 years means stable already. 2 years means this trip you go, you have the ability. Yeah, many things happen. Yeah, lah. The first 2013. That's why I told you a lot of things will happen after that. Because when you connect, it's just like song. You will start to understand many, many things. There are a lot of this Dhamma will start to like become clear to you on your own. No need people explain to you. Like song. Last time I read my note 6 times, cannot understand. Then the moment you connect, because that note, that teaching come from the silent mind, he straight away understand. No? Then he used to ask me during the early days, "But how come like that? Last time I read 6 times, I cannot understand." Because you are not ready. You don't have the silent mind. But the moment you connect and cultivate and meditate and develop the ability to be in sati, and when you touch your true nature, like Hui Ning, the Diamond Sutta, 1 stanza, 2 stanza, he will awaken already. And that time you don't need much truth. You just need to hear some truth from the sutta, and you will awaken. That's why all these are possible when you have this ability to connect, or when you meditate and silent and develop your own connection through meditation. That one also can be done. But all this need faith. Always remember faith. If you have faith, a lot of things can happen, especially now. That's why your faith has to be very, very strong. Like last time, I have a lot of faith in my teacher, my guide. And when I have faith in them, I just listen attentively. Then I just understand them. Then I reflect, I contemplate, then I develop the cultivation myself. You don't need much teaching. You only need the faith, the virya, sadha virya. Then when sati come and connect, you are home already. The moment you are heedful, you are home. Everything will fall into place. That's why all these are very beautiful, and it's meant to be, will be. That's why this year he will go again. Understand? Or? Actually, her group, only you alone go. Your sister all didn't follow you. Hui Ling also last minute pull out.
Actually, I'm
no, you're not supposed to go,
go
on, yeah.
She said she wants
want to go. Yeah. Then after that, she chicken out. Didn't chicken out. Something else happened. Yeah. Something else happened, Hui Ling. Then end up meant to be. That's why everything will fall into place. And you will know. Sadhu. Let's rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay. Anything else? Yeah.
I think as what Ajoy say, the plain one also give me quite a strong impact.
Yeah, yeah.
Actually, I come back acting over. What is life?
Yeah. You understand already by now. You understand. You have the understanding. That's why you will see like, 看到很透了, understand? You can see until like it's very clear what is life. No reality. Understand not? Just the form of mind. Moment to moment life passes by. What are you doing? And split second is dead and gone. Where is the reality? You go and fear, you go and worry, you go and project the thought and allow delusion to cause so much misery and suffering. That is really delusion. That is really stupidity. Ignorance. But when you understand, there is no reality at all. Nothing at all. Everything is just the way it is. Mighty nature rolling by. Nothing else. He know you, he know me. And everything is so clear. Sadhu, sadhu. Very good. And
actually, before I start my journey to India, I received a message.
Oh, sadhu.
You are just a traveler.
Yeah, you are just a traveler. Yeah. In space and time. Yeah. Yeah. Sadhu.
It's so beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah, this one refers to the form and mind. Understand? Our vehicle, our tool, a traveler in space and time. That's why that is the most beautiful. And this is the one that you can use to live. That's why true emptiness is wonderful existence. And this traveler in time that is connected with the understanding and the wisdom is the most beautiful. The most beautiful tool for you to come to this universe. And with that understanding, you are so blessed. You are so beautiful. Yeah. That's why you can really, really live life to the fullest and experience all of the wonders and beauties of life despite what happened to the world, to living beings. And the universe is so marvelous, so beautiful. people who don't understand, they thought full of mystery. But when you understand, nothing is mysterious. Everything is just the way it is, following nature's law. And there is so much thing in life. Everything is so pristine, so beautiful, within the moment, ever-changing. That's why very rich and very, very meaningful, very beautiful. That's why every moment of life is so beautiful, so meaningful. When you can live the moment, you are really the most beautiful. That nature is so beautiful, all-encompassing, all-embracing. And everything is there. When there is love, there is this oneness, there is this nature. And everything just manifests from there. Nothing is apart from that. Very good. Sadhu, I rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, we pass on to Padmasri. Now Padmasri. After that, we try to get Michael. Where's Michael? Oh, Michael sitting at her back. Ah, Susan first. Oh, okay. pass to Susan. Where is Susan? Lying down. Meditation. Is she coming? Sadhu. So we still got next Tuesday, for the balance. Now we got 15 minutes.
I think only, she got very nice experience.
Pastor Susan. Pastor Susan, Everyone will have their turn, including Sue.
Brother Teo?
Yeah, Sadhu. Okay, Susan.
As I've told you earlier, on my second day, I felt sick.
Yeah.
Quite sick, actually.
Yes.
I was aware that it was just physically that I was sick.
Yeah, the form.
But the mind was still
very, calm, very clear.
Very clear, very aware.
Yeah.
So, going through all the meditation and all, I find that the sitting was immediately.
Yeah. You were settled down immediately. The mind just silent.
Just
go into the meditative state immediately. Because your spiritual faculty is already developed. That's why you can do the lying down meditation. Otherwise, you cannot. Very good.
So, throughout the whole trip, I was sick for about 3-4 days. But I carried out the program.
Yeah.
As we went along, and I was aware that every sitting in every place that we went to, the sites, the sitting was, the clarity was there. And there were moments where I was aware that I was going into more on one-pointedness.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
But then what do you
the
do?
The awareness
came back to you. Then you relax into it.
Yes.
You must relax into it. Because you have that tendency. Your past, you have done energy field before. So
and
it's okay. When it comes, you just aware. Then just let it be. Then relax into it. Then it will all melt into your heart later on.
So when that happens, I ask Achan's permission to lie down.
Ah, very good. Sadhu. Oh, no wonder you ask permission to do lying down meditation. Very good. Now I remember I got this book for those who went to India. The lying down meditation. You all didn't receive when you were not around. Somebody helped to distribute. I think eight copies. Take all. Not enough.
Really still, there was one point in one of the sites.
Yeah.
I think it was Sarasti.
Ah, Sarasti.
Where during the sitting,
I was aware of three wheels. You know, it's like the
I know.
Dharma wheel.
Yeah.
And one of it was like given to me.
Wait, PG, still got there. Take from there. Oh, never mind. You keep. Give this to the one at the back, me. Yeah, continue. Yeah, the three wheel.
I was aware of the three wheel.
Yeah.
But one particular wheel was given to me.
Oh, sadhu. Oh, very good.
And it was the Dharma wheel.
Dharma wheel.
I clearly.
Yeah.
Know that it was the Dharma
wheel. Yeah.
And when
the first sermon was the Dhamma Cakkappavattana, the first turning of the Dhamma wheel.
But it wasn't at that Varanasi.
No need to be there. Uh-huh. This can be given anytime, any place.
So I also, at that point, I just let it be. Because I was aware that it's a phenomena.
Yeah.
And I just let it be.
Mm.
But it was clear, Brother Teo.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, and but along the way, at every site, the sitting was quite incredible.
Yeah.
Because before going for this trip, many a times I need some time to train.
Yeah.
And you know, but every site that I went, immediately on sitting, I could I was aware of the stillness.
Very good. Then you remember next time to relax into every mind state that arises, then let it be. Then you just like feel just aware, whatever that arises, aware, even the whatever vibration or heartbeat or phenomena. The awareness, just aware of that, aware. Don't try to know. Just aware. Then you will slow down. Slow down until suddenly no more movement. Then everything become like very still. Then for the first time, you will come to realize there is no thought. When there is no thought, there is no center. There is no egoic mind. There is nobody inside there. Like what Jai Krishnamurti say on, then you will be able to experience all this consciousness in the hearing. There is nobody inside there. The listening is without the listener. Seeing is without the person behind. There is no one to see. It's just that pure consciousness. And you will experience it with that clarity. No movement. Then whatever that want to move is the condition arising mind. And you can see it coming through the brain. That's why Krishnamurti always say, thought. Our thought. You know how you create thought or not? Thought is what? What is thought? Yeah, thinking, but how does it come about? Respond to? Memory. Without memory, you cannot create thought. Something you must have experienced before, then perceive it and deposited it. That's why it becomes memory. Then this memory has the condition to create thought. That's how with the consciousness and the memory upon contact, this mind contact, will create mental consciousness. Then this mental consciousness, you can put in the content, understand? Which are your views, your opinion, your conditioning. So all this is how you create your thought. So if you have delusion, egoic mind, then sakyadity will be there, then selfishness will be there, understand? That's how the evil root manifests. But when there is no more egoic mind, thought become pure thought, understand? Consciousness become pure consciousness. That's why that wisdom, that understanding, there is no egoic mind. That's why that true nature shine forth. That true nature understand. And there is no one inside. And this one cannot come out and live life. That's why it's not a being, it's not a person, it's a nature that has this ability to have the direct seeing, to develop the penetrative insight. That's why it can insight into phenomena, that it can develop the understanding, the clarity, and this one become wisdom. And because this form of mind is connected to this nature that awakened, that's why it has this wisdom to protect this form of mind. Then you can say this form of mind is enlightened because it's connected to this wisdom. But this form of mind is not you. Understand? Huh? And you understand all this. Then you will start to develop the clarity of mind to understand who you are, what you are. No wonder living beings are deluded. Because living beings through delusion believe this is what they are. Because this form of mind is so real to them. It can have emotion. It can animate into like so real. You know, everything is like so real. And everything you come to experience through your senses, they are like so real to you. Understand? I always give you all these examples. You go to a cinema, you see the cinema show. Like so real. Sometimes it can move you to tears. But you know it's a white screen only. With all the light, with all the pixel, with all the film running, creating the motion, the voice, the animation. So it becomes so real. Actually, what you are experiencing in this world is actually like that film show. It's condition arising. No reality. That's why the phenomenal world is just a world of consciousness. When this mind ceases to be, that's why mind is a forerunner of all things, mind is chief. When mind arises. Everything becomes like real. Yeah? Then there's a brother Theo, then there's a sister Susan, then there is my story, brother Theo's story, and your story. Then there is this Dhamma sharing. But when this mind, which is a forerunner of all things, ceases, then the identity ceases. Brother Theo ceases. Then one day, all of you will cease. Then what happened? Did you really exist? Then who are you? What are you? Understand? Huh? Whatever that arises, as real as it can be, is only within the moment. That moment, split second, is dead and gone. So how real can life be? Then someone got this, got that. Oh, my wife, my children, my what? I own this, I own that. My career, my business, my property. All this is delusion. There is such thing within the conditioned world, but they follow nature's law. They are impermanent, dependent, originating. When condition is there, it's like you own, like you have. But when condition ceases to be, it ceases to be. Your whole identity ceases to be, because you're so-called form of mind is also condition arising, cause of phenomena, no reality. Okay, yeah. Anything else? Yeah.
Yeah. Throughout the trip,
yeah,
The mind was equanimous.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I'm quite a kaypo person.
I know, I know. But suddenly your mind becomes like that.
This trip, you know.
Yeah, and it doesn't want to talk that much. But as you go through that, you will become more and more silent. Actually, that stage everyone will go through, the cultivator. When you, especially at the retreat, you off the mic first. Off the mic first. Especially at the retreat, the next time when you are at the Cameron or what, you cultivate. If your inner nature is silent and still, it doesn't want to talk, then don't talk. Don't talk. And I tell you, you will transform very fast. Then you will understand very fast. Because within the silent, the real Dhamma will manifest. Yeah. And I remember that was what happened to me 20 years ago when I was in Cameron Highland. I went there for a 5-day retreat. Nobody knew what happened. Except at the end of the retreat, the monk who took us up there, one Thai monk, I think he saw me very different. Then he told that time I went with Pali there. He told Pali, he said, Pali, you look at Dio. He's so different. Real that time, really, the whole form of mind become very different. Then later on, like I told you all, when I came down from Cameron Highland, we came back by bus. My mind has gone through the cessation and silence. Then there was like no thought already. You know. Then the mind was so different, you know, so clear. Then it doesn't speak, it doesn't talk. It's so still, so silent. But fully aware, natural state. It's not a conditioned state anymore. Then what happened, as the bus moved, where I was sitting in front, I saw the sense data one by one coming in. And like in slow motion, coming towards these senses. Then how they make contact and how they create. Then how the creation come back. How this mundane mind starts to arise again, manifest again. Then how it starts to become conscious of thing again, perceive thing again. Where initially it was just pure awareness, pure perception, no thinking, no thought, nothing, just like that. Then as this sense data come back, then I realized this is how living beings become conditioned into what they are. Then through delusion, they grasp, they cling, and they give meaning. Then they build up all these views and opinion, and all this conditioning create the habitual tendency in them. And that's how they fall, and that's how they become what they are. That's why I can share with you all this, is because I saw them all, and I came to understand them all. That's why all these are not in the book. Then sometimes I got to create the new words to explain to you, like sati, the two types of sati, specific phenomenal awareness, or spacious awareness without a center. I got no words for it until lately when you are ready, then I have to come out with the words. And these words, you go and check, there is no book that write about it. And nobody teach about it because it cannot be understood. So all this, as you progress, you will understand. That's why as you go through this still mind state, or you call it equanimity, it's actually, it's not really equanimity as yet, it's samadhi. It's a type of samadhi that make you very quiet, very still, not moving. Equanimity is when you have the wisdom ready. Then your mind does not stir. You are not under a conditioned state. You are not under samadhi. You can still be at peace. Your mind will not stir. That's why, like I said, there is no movement at all. The thought, no matter what happened, there's no movement at all. And everything is so clear. Nothing. So this will arise when you develop the appropriate cultivation, when you go through the appropriate awakening. That's why now there are more and more conditions to talk about this thing. Otherwise, how can I share? I can't share. Words also not created, how to share. Then when you can understand already, I can come up with some words. So then because you are near there, you all can make head or tail out of it. Like you can get the understanding of it. Last time, when most of you are not ready, when even the basic essential Dhamma also you cannot understand, how can I share? When I share, nobody can understand. Everybody will just shake the head, what the hell is going on? Don't know what Brother Teo is trying to tell me. Form is unreal. Learn to see form, see beyond form, the unreality of form. What the hell is going on? It's just like form is emptiness. Emptiness is form. When the Heart Sutta come about, all the Theravada people also say, what type of teaching is there? How to reconcile form? Does not differ from emptiness. Emptiness and form itself is empty. The emptiness itself is form. You say, form is form lah. Where I got form is empty. It's so solid, you say, not form. They use the mundane mind, the rational thinking mind, where they cannot penetrate. That's why they cannot see form. They cannot understand the unreality of form. And because of that, they cannot see beyond form. If you cannot see beyond form, you cannot see mind. You will be trapped in this physical body. this identification with this physical body, physical form, then everything through words and concept divide. Chinese, male, middle age. Then as you develop aging, then you say old man, and young boy, newborn baby, and all those things. So you divide through gender, through age, through color of skin, through your physical appearances, gender, and all those things. So all this is how thought has power over living being. They create through words, concept, idea. Then they divide and create a lot of conflict, misunderstanding. So all these are division created by thought. That's why when you don't understand thought, thought becomes egoic. Then thought divide. Then there's a you and a me against them, others. Then you create relationships, someone, my wife, my spouse, my children, my loved one, my enemy, my brother, my sister, my parent. All this come about through what? Words created by thought. Oh, 10:35. So, you got anything else to add or not? Not now. Later, you go back and write it down. Like Joyce, write it down in WhatsApp. Then read it out. Because sometimes not easy for you all to recall. Unless you have that nature, which is already stabilized, then you come back. Whatever condition that arise, you can just share like that. But for most of you all, you still need to like slowly. Either you write it out or you have to make note. Then later on, as you become more and more skillful, you can share without anything. I remember last time when Anne started, she cannot share one. Wow, this time around, she can share so well. And she didn't prepare. It's just the condition arise, things just manifest. But it will allow you to recall, yes or not. You don't keep as memory anymore. You don't try to remember things anymore. And you realize this way of living is so free, yes or not. The mind is so free. You don't have to carry anything. You don't have to remember anything. That's why I not shy one. I tell you, I cannot remember. I cannot remember. Sometimes name also I cannot remember. Sometimes next moment I speak, the next moment, no more in the memory. Unless there is condition. That's why I have to ask you, why did I say this? How did I come to this place, this point? Then when you mention something, when the condition connect back, and then this memory come out. Otherwise, it cannot. But it don't hold anymore. And this aggregate is no longer grasping, clinging, cannot hold anymore. That's why the four aggregate of mind, Vedana, Sanya, Sankara, Vijnana, they are non-grasping. Because they are non-grasping, they cannot hold. Understand? You ask me to remember things, cannot. I have to write it down. When there is condition only, I can recall. No condition I cannot recall. That's why I have to be with things that I am familiar with. That's why if I always see you and I remember your name, means I remember your name. But after a while you don't see me, I cannot even recall your name. Really? Because it's like that. It's no longer like before. And last time when I was young, I tell you, I got elephant memory. My primary school teacher teach one all, I can remember. My classmates all scared of me. He said, you want to remember anything the teacher say, you're going to ask still. Kenkun, you're going to ask him. He got elephant memory. And I can repeat what the lecturer and teacher teach one. But last 20 over years, I cannot already. I lost that ability. Because cannot. This mind just cannot. And I realized, because when I went through the transformation, the nature tell me, you want to suffer, go and use your memory. You understand? If you want to suffer, go and use your memory. At that time, I was still working for a consulting firm. So I had to remember certain things for meeting. So I opened up the file. Wow, I cannot read now that time. The moment I try to read, there is so much suffering inside the sankhara there. like you can know, no, this is suffering. This is trying to read, trying to understand, trying to remember is suffering. Even the moment of perception is suffering. No, that fine suffering inside is so clear. No, then I just close the file. Don't want to read anything. Then I go for meeting. Don't want to remember anything. Then I realize at the meeting, when the time comes, when I need to recall certain things, all the things will come out. Then I will know how to talk and I will know how to actually reply. Then I say the date, I may not be sure, but I can let you know later. I know this thing happened, yes. And because of that and that, it will be like that. But the date, I have to go back and check the file. Then later on, this one also is phase by phase. It will come to pass. Sana. Then you will learn how to use this supramundane mind, the new mind. You will learn how to use. And it will go back to normal. That's why I can share with you all the three stages of seeing. Remember? Kan san, si san. Then kan san, bu si san. Wow, that stage. Wow, a lot of transformation. Then finally, when everything come back to normal again, kan san, yu si san. At that time, no more problem. That time, you can be with anything. You can be with the world, like the lotus above the mud. No more problem. You can touch anything, step into anything. No more problem. Because the understanding is different. It has gone beyond duality. Otherwise, when you penetrate that time, you are still one extreme. You understand these are not real, but you still want to argue with people. No, 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 no. You don't see like that. You see like that already, the direct see. Oh, you still got the subtle ego. No, like only you can see, other people cannot see, but the atta is still there. But the moment you penetrate beyond the atta, there is nothing, nobody at all. That's why the one that still believe that there is a being who is enlightened, even the sotapan cannot think like that. So if you can still have that type of thought, then you know your cultivation still haven't really stabilized, haven't really penetrated. So all this understanding will come. And sakyatiti is the first factors that you will actually root out. And when that one is rooted out, very, very clear. And there is so much joy. That self-delusion created so much suffering and problem to the living being. And that is a very powerful delusion. That's why even the first stage of sainthood is very powerful, I tell you. Very, very powerful. And that being that has this penetrative understanding will understand what death is. No one die. He will know one. He will understand. And he know that five aggregate form in mind is not him. And it's so penetrative. Okay, we better end. You can add. Can. Use the mic.
Sorry. Yeah, in one of the lying meditation, there was a point where I was aware that the body, you know, it was like looking through the body, but right through like a bottomless pit.
I know. What happened after that?
After that, I just continued to be aware that, you know, I didn't.
Because it is part of the mind's manifestation. Never mind, just let it be. Because sometimes people will say, like they cannot feel the body, understand? Then sometimes like your case, you see like it's a bottomless pit, understand? That's how your mind will actually, they call it a shift in consciousness for you to understand, for you to see. But all these are not important. Because the more important is the wisdom, the understanding, the penetrative understanding. Well, all these are conditions that you will go through in meditation. It's just like the one that do energy field. All this fantastic meditative experience, they will arise. And when they arise, if you deludedly believe that you have done very well, you are somebody, you have this psychic ability to read mind, to see, like in a dark room, you can see light. So you think this is special. Does it help you? Well, this is not wisdom. This will make you egoic. Then it will delude you, and you go and attach and cling and hold on to that thought. Say, "Hey, I can do this." You know, in meditation, you can. I can levitate. You know, or I can read mind. I can go into war, go through war, and all those things. So, I can even. They will tell you what astral traveling. They can say they can go here, go there, go everywhere. Look, split second, they come back, they can go heaven, which heaven, they can go down to hell, you know. So what? You still don't know who you are or what you are. You still don't understand the noble truth of suffering. You can still be deluded by all this. You can still have fear, worry, anxiety. You still have self-delusion. You still believe this is you. You still believe there is somebody there doing all this. That's why without wisdom, suffering will arise. You will be the same. You have not changed. Meditation is about developing insight, wisdom, understanding. So all this happening will arise. It's just like in the energy field. But this one is consciousness field, awareness field. So you will feel many things. But the feeling always have a center. Because when you feel, it's actually the aggregate of mind. It's from that center you feel. But when it's pure feeling without a center, then it's different. Then that one is pure awareness. It's just aware. Aware of the aggregate is different. Aware of that perception, pure. There is no more egoic. There is no more sakyadity behind. That's why it becomes suddenly non-grasping. That everything is just the way it is. It can endure, it can understand, it can see all this very clearly. Then the understanding is born of the direct seeing, the awakening to the three universal characteristics, the insight. So all this you will develop as you go along. So lying down meditation is to just to stabilize your mind. Understand? Then later on you need it, because this one can allow you to experience Nibbana relatively easily. But what is important is before you can realize that, you have to go into daily mindfulness. So lying down meditation is to stabilize your mindfulness, so that when you come out of it, you are fully aware. Then you can carry this mind state into the daily life and develop the direct seeing, the insight into phenomena, and understand how you function as a human being, the dependent origination, how to see. That's why the six sense door, you have to meditate on that. Six internal sense bases and six external sense. Trace the origination factor. How the mind stir, how this mundane mind become deluded. How the conditioning has power over you, how the habitual tendency come about. How to see all this very clearly. Then you will start to understand. Then you are not deluded by all this so-called form and mind processes anymore. This is how the awakening will come. Then when you have this understanding, next time you do the lying down meditation, the mind behaves differently. It doesn't want to know, it doesn't want to think, because all these are impermanent, lead to suffering, no reality. Then it just relax, silent, and cessation will happen. You will reach a point, I remember, think also like that, don't think also like that. There is nothing at all. Then the sankhara just cannot move. And then that cessation will happen. When the condition is there, it will fall into place, then it will happen. Then initially it's a glimpse. Then after that, it will happen more and more often, more and more regularly. Then it will go into the permanent cessation. And that one, you can decide how long. But normally you got no say, because it's the unconditioned. But if it's for the first time that people experience that, then sometimes it can go in for quite a while. But if you had done it before, I realize no more problem. You just like went through all these stages very fast. is like you call what revision. Revision. Yeah, you study before already. So you just flick through revision. So all this cultivation was the same. All the penetrative insight, all the transformation you already cultivate before. This life you come, when you connect, you will go through all this understanding very fast. That's why I pass through very fast. Then all of a sudden, I reach back the level this nature has cultivated before. Then from there, it start to develop the understanding from there. Then it start to perfect the cultivation from there. But this understanding will become more and more clear, and it will become more and more, I don't know what word to use, because it's like that. The Dhamma, before you understand this, you cannot understand the further one. Then before you understand the further one you cannot understand. That's why you have to go through one. There is no such thing as shortcut from here to there. Understand? People can do that is because they have done this before. Understand? That's why zoom, from this line like Hui Ning, straight away he listened one stanza, he awakened already. Because he has done before. But he has not, cannot. I realize stage by stage. Every stage you have to go through. Then as you go through, it become more and more beautiful, more and more beautiful. It's like last time I told you, one Dhamma door you open with the Dhamma key. Everything inside that Dhamma door you can understand. Then, before you have this understanding, you cannot go to the second Dhamma door, because that one is beyond you, totally beyond you. Like thought-based meditation, before you even develop the sati, awareness-based meditation, you cannot penetrate the truth. You will be trapped in that thought-based meditation, energy field, and you will be trapped there for very, very long. Until one day when you penetrate sati, then the second Dhamma door open. Then the awareness-based meditation, there's a lot more Dhamma door. Then you learn all this. That's why it's very different. That's why you can get stuck, you can get obstructed. But the nature's law is so powerful. And without that understanding, if nobody, Satta and great beings to help us, no way, I tell you. You will be trapped. So all this, you don't have to worry. You are better end of 10:50 already. Okay, we do the sharing of merit. We do the shortcut way. We do the Pali one. No more translation. Okay. Sharing of merits with the devas. Aka satta cha bhumata deva naga mahindika punyang tang anumoditwa cirang rakantu loka sasana itta watta chamehi sampadan punya sampadan be deva anumodantu sabasampati siddhiya idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo itmina punyang kamina mame bala samagamo satang samagamo hotu yawa nivana patiya sadhu sadhu sadhu. Keeping respect mindfully to Lord Buddha, Kuan Yin Bodhisattva, and all the worthy ones. Thank you.